Well, here we are at another transition point in the church year. And as the sermon title says, Lent is here. It says with an exclamation point. And I've been thinking about Lent coming for quite a while. It's not that I think of it all the time, but for whatever reason, it's been on my mind a little bit more noticeably in the weeks leading up to Lent. And Lent is one of those seasons that everybody knows something about, it seems. There's this now great plethora of jokes about Lent and what people are going to give up for Lent. One person that I know, one of my coworkers, she and one of our clients were talking about Lent. They're both from a spiritual background, so they were talking about it and they're having a bit of fun with it. And he apparently told her that he was going to give up hope for Lent. It's a tough time in his business. He's trying to work out some stuff. He was mostly joking. And what they decided to do, instead of giving up anything like that for Lent, they were going to try and monitor themselves for the next 40 days plus Sundays. And every time they felt themselves making a snarky remark of some kind, whether they made it or not, they were going to make sure they said something pleasant about that person, either to themselves or to the person if they were there. They know what's going on with Lent, and even in our popular culture we have Lent, and that's where we get, once again, more jokes like people giving up atheism for Lent, people giving up all kinds of things for Lent, most of which they probably shouldn't have had in the first place. But what do we do with Lent? It's an opportunity to have some witty wordplay, I suppose, but I hope it's more than that, and it is more than that. Lent comes as part of our preparation for Easter, as we all know. It's set up over a period of time, the 40 days of Lent, not including the Sundays. Obviously, 40 days are a significant period of time. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, as was just read for us out of Matthew's Gospel. But is Lent anything more than just an opportunity for us to be miserable for another 40 days, to give up something that we desperately enjoy? Well, the answer is no, or at least to the miserable part. Lent isn't about being miserable. Lent isn't necessarily about being happy, but the point of Lent isn't that we somehow work ourselves into, I don't know, a frenzy of guilt or concern or something of that nature. I was reading this morning out of a Lenten devotional by N.T. Wright called Lent for Everyone, and he related the story how he ran out when he just had got his driver's license and he ran out of gas, which happened, and he got some gas from somebody else, and it turned out that it was actually for a two-stroke engine for a lawnmower, and so he got home, but the next day, I think he said his car sounded like a sick animal when he started it up. And so he took it to a shop, and of course they found out what was going on. They cleaned out the carburetor, and it was fine after that. And he looked at sort of our lives through that lens. And as I sort of expand on his illustration, his car still ran. He got home, and it started the next day, and he could drive it to the shop where it needed to be driven. But it wasn't doing what it was supposed to. It sputtered. It wasn't as efficient. It wasn't as pleasant an experience. Lent is an opportunity for us to see whether, to push the analogy as far as possible, to see whether our engine is on proper gasoline or whether we've got some weird gasoline and oil mixture. Lent is an opportunity for us to look carefully at what's going on in our lives and see if there's anything that we need to deal with. Lent is not the only time in the year that we do this. For most of us, we try and pay attention to what we're doing. We try and pay attention to our relationships with the people around us, with our family members, friends, co-workers, and also with our relationship with God. And we try to pay attention to what might be interfering with any of those relationships, and we try to deal with them when they arise. Lent is an opportunity for us to spend some time reflecting on whether we've been successful at that. Whether there's something that we skipped over because it was too painful, or we skipped over it because from our perspective it was too trivial to bring up. Lent is a time for reflection, not a time for misery. There's many reasons to give things up in Lent. And one of them is a reminder of what we're doing. Every time that we want to do whatever it is that we've given up, and I've gone through this list, I think, probably at the beginning of every Lent, the kinds of things that we give up are the things that we can legitimately enjoy. We don't give up overeating, for example. We give up eating chocolate or bread or I don't know, whatever it might be. We give up particular activities that we can legitimately enjoy as a reminder of Jesus' sacrifice, first in coming to earth at all, and also in his willingness to go into the wilderness and suffer privation for 40 days, all of which was for our benefit, for ultimately for our benefit. And when we notice that we reach for the chocolate bar and say, no, it's Lent, I'm not going to do that, it gives us an opportunity to reflect again on Jesus' sacrifice. But it also, hopefully, triggers the larger picture of what's happening in Lent. The idea of Lent is that it's a time when, in conversation with God and those around us, we get cleaned up, if you will. It's sort of a spring cleaning. Or, to go back to N.T. Wright's illustration, it's a time to get your carburetor tuned up, so you're running as efficiently and ticking along as well as possible. One of the things that some people try and do in Lent, and they're usually the ones who fall into the Lent should be a time to be miserable category, is they look for things, whether they're there or not. It's quite possible for you to enter into Lent with your relationships in all directions current and where they should be, and that's wonderful. You don't have to invent something bad to go through Lent. But for many of us, there are these things. And bad is perhaps too strong a word, or at least it brings too many connotations. For most of us, when we take the time to do a bit of an inventory on where we are, and we don't have to spend 40 days in the wilderness, which is good because, well, I don't think I could do that. I don't know what very many people who could. But when we do this inventory, when we think carefully about our actions over the previous year and the things that we're currently doing, if we look at them from the perspective that God loves us deeply and wants us to have rich, full lives, we may see things that are interfering with that rich fullness. And through the course of the season of Lent, as we think of these things, as they pop up or as they sort of grow in our consciousness, we want to deal with them not just because that's what we're supposed to do, although that's a big part of it. We want to deal with those things so that by the end of the season of Lent, we are ready to embrace the time of Easter as much as we possibly can. It's hard for us to be happy when there's something on our mind. It's hard for us to enter fully into celebrations of any sort if we're worried about something, or if we're concerned about something, or our attention is focused on anything else. We all know that. Easter is the best day of the year. I've said that before. It's better than my birthday. It's better than my anniversary. It's even better than the birthdays of my children. I want us to be able to step into Easter and embrace the joy of the day as fully as possible, without any sense that there's a shadow over who we are in relation to anyone else. sometimes that means that we need to go and talk to people. Sometimes it means we need to change our behavior. Sometimes it doesn't mean any of those things, because you have taken care of those things when they've come up, and that's a wonderful state to be in. But these next days, as we go through the process of preparing for Holy Week and then for Easter, let's embrace Lent not just as a time to give things up, but as a time to discover things about ourselves. To discover perhaps some areas of shadow that we can deal with, that the light might be more fully in, or in who we are. But also that we might get ready for the celebration of Christ's resurrection. Lent is not a season of the church to be afraid of. It's not a season of the church year to dread. And that's why this year I went with Lent is here. This is good news. For those of us who find it difficult to make the time for reflection, or difficult to even find the will for reflection, it's a time of year built in for us every year that we can do that. The content of our worship services are directed towards that. And if we enter into the meaning of the season, the opportunity to think carefully about what's going on, if we take it as an opportunity to give up something that we can enjoy, to more fully experience our little bit of what it meant for Jesus to come, it's a good time of the year. It's not to be avoided. It's not to think that, well, Lent is just that time I have to suffer through. I don't know what your Lenten observances might be. There's all kinds of possibilities, from giving things up to adding new things in. This year I've added in N.T. Wright's Lenten devotional. It's really good. If you haven't come up with anything yet, go ahead. You can even get it online through the U-Bible people, and they'll even remind you every day. Whatever you choose to do, fully embrace Lent. Not for what you're giving up, not for what you're adding in, but for the preparation that it will do within you, the yearly tune-up it can be for you, so that you can enter into the rest of the year, kicking it off with the glories of Easter Sunday, and make this year, this church year, the best ever. Lent is here. It's worthy of celebration, because it leads to the best and greatest celebration we have. Amen.